Tkachuk celebrating as the Florida Panthers, for the second straight season, will play in the Eastern Conference Final.
I do want to say I'm a little disappointed still that we're not playing.
But we're going to be aggressive, you know, to be able to complement what we currently have.
Omark was traded for forward Mark Kastelic and goaltender Jonas Korpisalo, as well as the 25th overall pick in this week's NHL draft.
It's a win for me because you had to trade Linus Omark. It just wasn't going to work to have him come back.
The Boston Bruins just made two enormous signings.
The Boston Bruins making a pair of moves. Wow. This from Darren Dreger. Boston lands both Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov.
Try to look at Bergeron as much as possible. I don't want to compare myself or anything like that.
In my past teams, people were calling me Big D. Please do not ever call me Big D now.
Contract negotiations, we are still negotiating this way. I hope that he's ready to play come training camp. You know, we've got some things to work out, and I'm sure we'll get there.
I can't ruin the goalie market for other guys that are going to be in my shoes down the line. I went to the School of Business for the University of Maine.
I do believe that he'll be in before December 1st.
A lot of resentment towards people that want you to succeed.
I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
Bruins put out a statement themselves. 8 years, 66 million.
Hey fans, it's Wade here. I'm so excited to be back, and I thank all of you for all the support.
Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Great work there from Brian Frazoco. A nice recap of the offseason for your Boston Bruins, the Jeremy Swayman drama, the loss to the Florida Panthers, the other acquisitions that were made, which I feel like got overshadowed a bit here. What?
I was just going to say, better mashup than trending, if you listen to the first trending.
I wasn't going
to
mention that, but okay.
I thought you were going to intentionally mispronounce my name and you were going to be better for that.
He redeemed himself. That was tough.
Brian
Frazoukas. Frazoukas? Anyhow.
And sad news out of the MLB world as Luis Tionte passed away. The worst part is I paused. I paused and then
no, the
still
worst part is
again.
You said screwed up the first and the last name of a legend in the city when he just passed away. That's the worst part.
That's probably the worst part, I'd say, yeah.
Got the pause is people yelling at me. They just wanted to call just to yell at me.
Yeah, they should. You deserve it. You just have to say, sorry. My bad.
City of Boston,
you know, Hunter
I apologize.
When Hunter Henry false started and just went, my bad. That's what you need to do. Just
pretty much it, yeah.
My bad.
Anyway, you'll have other chances over the course of the day to get that
name worse.
Right. Or make it worse. I guess you could do that, too. Anyways, Jeremy Swayman has signed. Jeremy Swayman has signed with the Bruins. We didn't even really mention it at all yesterday, but that happened over the weekend. It's a number that I think he liked, that I like. Bruins probably didn't like, because they said 64, and then it ended up getting bumped up a little bit to about, I think, like 66 or something along those lines for the 8 years. I think everybody wins here. Honestly, I do, especially after this news about Igor Shesterkin and what he just turned down from the New York Rangers, which we'll get to in a second. But let's just go ahead and start with Swayman, with that number, him and the Bruins, I guess, reconciling enough to be able to put pen to paper here, even though it seemed like some feelings were definitely hurt on both ends here. And now he's your goalie. He's your goalie of the future, your goalie for the next 8 years at what I think is a pretty reasonable number. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, no, I think he won. Because I think just on the pure number, 64 was thrown out there angrily by Cam Neely.
Yes.
And he gets 66. And it's up from what his agent even said, which was 62.4 or something, 62.6. So I think he got a little bit more out of it. He didn't ruin the market. He certainly didn't reset the goalie market by any. I think this is
Igor is about to though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Or not. If sooner or later he has to accept a deal to really reset the market.
True.
No, but I think you take this as a win for Swayman. And watching the press conference the other day, and I don't know how much of it you watched, it was hard to get a read on where he is emotionally because I felt it was very fake. Almost political. Like a question would be asked and then he would kind of steer it in a different direction, just where he wanted to steer it. So I have no idea, and I guess we have an example of the politician, Jeremy Swayman, answering questions.
So this is where he was asked if he was looking to reset the goalie market, yes. And here was his response.
Again, I respect the fact that you have to ask that question, and to be honest, I am just so excited to be a Boston Bruin. And the fact that we went through this, you know, process and the tools that I learned with it, it's gone now. And all I care about is being a Bruin, and the fact that I could do that for 8 years and instill myself as a leader and as a true member of this city is all I care about right now, and I couldn't be happier.
Is that a yes or is that a no? I missed it in there.
I don't think it was a yes or a no. It wasn't anything.
It was weird.
It was just him talking about how great it is to be on the Bruins. It had nothing. I mean, really, he didn't reset the market, so
no.
It's sort of hard for him to say, yeah.
But he doesn't sound angry there.
That was the plan. I don't think he is angry.
He's imparting happiness. I'm just really excited to be a Bruin. I'm glad I can be here forever. Like, he kept going back to that a number of times, which I guess is what you want. Like, if that's genuine, that's all water under the bridge. We did business. He said something there about the tools and the business or something. But if he got to a place where he wanted to be, a long-term contract to be a Bruin, then that should be water under the bridge. And he's making good money.
Yeah.
He didn't reset the market, but I actually think...
For what the market is right now, he's doing very well. What it's going to turn
given
into,
his resume.
Maybe, you know, in a few years, you might be thinking differently.
On
but
both
right
sides.
Now, yeah.
Like, there could be the... Because if he's not what the Bruins think he is, he could be overpaid. Right? If he's not a franchise goalie.
If he has a disappointing season, that's going to be bad news for the Bruins.
Absolutely.
You know, that's bad news for everybody.
Now, I think...
Except Swayman, because he's getting paid.
But. Most people are hopeful that he's going to continue to develop. Mm-hmm. He is a franchise goalie, and the cap goes up, and you're looking favorably upon this contract. But there is some risk of you signed an 8-year deal, and if I remember reading the details correctly, he, for the first 2 seasons, they could trade him. But after that, there's a note full, no movement, then like a partial no movement. Like, he's got a big contract that he'll have some sway in terms of the trade market. You see what I did there? Professional.
Pretty good.
Learn, Brian.
Jeremy Swayman, 8 years, $66 million. I think that there is in 2026 to 2029, a no movement clause. 2030, a 10-team trade list. 2031, a 10-team no trade list.
So if I'm reading that correctly, you could trade him in the first 2 years?
It sounds like it says 26 to 29, so I'd say
this year and
this
next
is 24-25. Next year's 25-26. Starting in 26? I don't know if that means starting in the year that begins in 26. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you that.
I don't think they want to trade him. I think they want him to be their goalie. They traded Ullmark, but...
They traded Ullmark. They watched Korpisalo in the preseason, and they said, "Let's get this deal done."
Well, and now funny thing is, now you have 11 and change wrapped up in the goalies, right?
In both of them, yeah.
Yeah. So you can't just turn your back on him. You still need Korpisalo to be a good Ullmark, a good second goalie, a good pairing. Now, maybe not as good as Ullmark, maybe not a Vezina and an All-Star, whatever that.
Sure.
But you're still expecting him to be pretty good, right? He's not making nothing.
No, he's not. And that was part of the return there for Ullmark. And I think that having Bussy up, and maybe that's part of it too, like maybe those guys are competing now for the backup goalie job, but you have him signed, you have some real money committed to him, you figure out what to do with that. Right now, the Bruins have no cap space at all. They have like $200,000 in cap space.
Right.
It's really like they're up against it like you wouldn't believe. And I don't know if there's any team out there that's going to be willing at this point to trade for Korpisalo even as a backup, just based on how bad he was last year, but that would free up about, you know, $3 million or $2+ million, and that could mean a lot to the Bruins if they want to really get something like that done, if they believe in Bussy as the backup. I could see that happening. I don't think you made a big commitment to Korpisalo.
No, but you did commit to him tonight.
Yeah.
Yesterday, as of yesterday, they were like, oh, we don't know who could maybe Swayman. And it does look like Korpisalo is going to start tonight, assuming they play. I'm still going with their playing. I haven't seen any updates out of Florida.
Yeah.
With the hurricane bearing down, Hurricane Milton.
Seem a little irresponsible to play this game tonight, maybe? I don't know.
Where is the hurricane exactly?
I don't
when
know.
When is it landing?
It's over the water. I feel like it was not supposed to really hit until tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon.
That's the
it's
thing.
Still
but
weird.
It's
weird. Like, you're telling everybody to get the hell out, but before you get out, catch a nice hockey game.
Yeah, enjoy some Florida Panthers hockey right
7.
Here in Sunrise, Florida.
But pack up, so when you leave the parking lot, just head north and get the hell out of the state.
It is weird how Florida is like the hockey center of the universe right now.
Yeah, it's a little... Because
they won the cup. They're going to be raising the banner. Everybody's all excited. And it's like, oh yeah, there's one of the worst hurricanes, at least in the water right now. Did you see that? Did you see that picture with like the tiny eye and like all the red around? Oh, yeah. And they're like, everybody who's, I don't know what it is, but everyone who's the meteorologist looking at it, like, we've never seen anything like this before. In the human history, we've never seen
one
a storm
cried.
Like this before.
One
yeah.
of them cried.
The guy in South Florida
I've
who's
never
seen a million
that.
Of these.
Never seen that before. A meteorologist cry when looking not at the devastation, but at the hurricane itself. It hasn't hit yet.
Which has not hit yet.
It's going to kill people. Like, there's going to be reason to cry later in all likelihood, but I've never seen somebody cry just at the size and intent. And it was like, and it just dropped 50 millibars?
Yeah.
And like, it's the worst, like, Armageddon. It's
right.
End the world.
Like, he's announcing the end of the West.
Right.
That's what it,
that's
like.
What
yeah.
it felt like. And it seemed like a bit
how about
much.
How about the mayor who was like, if yeah. you don't evacuate, you're going to die?
She yeah. literally said that. If you don't leave, you will. I've never heard a mayor say that.
Scare
ever.
Tactics. And the lightning move to Carolina.
I bet you that one worked. That scare tactic, I bet you worked.
Well, they've tried it
move
before.
Move or die, I'd say, no. is a pretty effective
there
one.
There will be people that ride it out.
I'm
and
sure
stay
there will be. I'm just saying, if I heard that, I'd be scared.
Because I have heard before, not the stay and die. It was more the, if you stay, we cannot save you. We will not try to save you. We will not be able to sit like that.
Right.
This was a little more succinct and direct, and you stay, you die.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Lightning moved to Carolina, I believe, for training for the rest of the week.
Okay.
But the Bruins, apparently, and Panthers are going to play tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll give you an update if we hear anything on that. By the way, the Shesterkin report, this is from Kevin Weeks in one of his weird little videos where he's like, he was in front of like a SpongeBob statue or something, and you could just see his eyes and not his nose or mouth, and he didn't actually say anything in the video, but the tweet said that Igor Shesterkin turned down an 8-year, $88 million contract from the New York Rangers. So for you math majors out there, that's $11 million AAV, considerably more than what Swayman just got. And this is Shesterkin, who is a very good goalie, won the Vezina his first year as a starter in New York, has made it to two conference finals, was an all-star once, never won a championship. This is your goalie market, all right? Like, Cam Neely and all them, they can be, you know, growling and snarling about what they think Swayman did. This is what the market's going to be, all right? This is the way it's going. It's not going to stop. Once the train's out of the station, it's not going backwards. Like, this is the way these things go.
So you think this is a win for the Bruins, then?
I think in a
they
way...
They wrapped up
yes.
their goalie at a palatable price when prices are going to soar.
I don't think they look at it that way, but I think so. I think everybody kind of won here. I do. I think that Swayman got the number he wanted. I think the Bruins, whether they know it now or not, are getting a very good goalie, a franchise goalie, at what I think is going to be, as time goes on, a very palatable number for them, and that they're going to look at it and be like, yeah, we did okay here. We made out pretty good with this.
Do you think there is a you and I obviously had a pretty good tete-a-tete back and forth last
week. I don't recall that. I don't
was
know.
That, was that Friday?
Was it?
I feel like we were the impetus to get this done. Like, people are screaming on the radio. We got to get this deal done. It's really reached chaotic levels. But do you think there was any damage done to the fan support for Swayman?
100%, yes.
And how bad? Like, is it bad that
it depends
it's going to linger? Or is it, you know, one shutout and it's like, ah, glad we got him. Kind
I mean,
of
I think people are going, once he plays well, people are going to still remember that, but they're not going to talk about it anymore. If he plays badly, and I do think that there was, no offense, a little bit of like a boomer thing to it, like, ah, in my day, we took the money we wanted and we just said thanks for the opportunity and all that. It's sort of like the divide. But
you calling me
Cass's.
A boomer?
I thought you had a little bit of a boomerish take on that.
I thought you had a sucker homer take, so we can revisit this if
I mean,
you want.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean,
your head was so far up Swayman's katukis that no one could see you when you were yelling.
Couldn't see you up Neely's either. So, but either way, I think that there's sort of the same thing with Tristan Cass's. He's a good player. Young people really like him, and old fans don't like him. And I think the same thing was starting to happen with Swayman. I think young fans of the Bruins were like, get Swayman, get whatever it takes, bring him in, we like him, this is the goalie. And I think that there were some older fans, or just different fans, who weren't into that. And there was a bigger split. I think mostly Swayman had a lot of fans coming into this whole negotiation, and this is the type of thing that happens when you play hardball and when you hold out and when you miss camp and when you know, maybe not be ready for the season to start. There's going to be backlash for that, but Swayman sort of looked at it and thought, if it's worth it to me, if I make an extra, however, $16 million here.
Which is why if I were him, I'd be careful when I tell them I'm ready to go before I get out there. I need to make sure I'm actually ready. And I know he said he was working out at BU and
right.
he feels like he's in shape, and when they tell me I'm ready, I'll be ready kind of thing. But I think if you have a couple bad games early, questionable games early, that is going to fuel the distaste that the negotiations left with some people.
Yeah.
Including me, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really like his press conference either.
Yeah.
He's weird.
He's definitely, I mean,
your comparison to Casas might be part of it. He seems like a weird dude. And
all,
I know
goalies
are weird.
Every goalie in the world's weird.
Be weird and don't talk. But when okay. you tell me that you're weird, now you kind of annoy me. And I think he's weird and annoying.
All right.
So put your mask on and stop puck. Shut up and stop pucks.
All right. I think he will.
Make the t-shirts.
I think he's going to have a big year. I think that our next
Shut
guest,
the puck up.
Scott McLaughlin coming in here, I think has big predictions for Jeremy Swayman this year. Ooh. I think he wrote down Vezina winner Jeremy Swayman this year. We'll ask him that in person when Scott McLaughlin joins us, WEEI.com. That's coming up right after Brian Frazoco, hopefully correctly this time, tells you what's trending.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
This building is as full as it was at the start. Everybody standing, hoping the Bruins can find a way to tie the score in the dying seconds. Geeky and Lundell off the faceoff. Marchand gets the puck. Marchand's backhand rolling towards the net. Ekblad steers it around. 4 seconds left. It's out of the zone. Matthew Tkachuk celebrating as the Florida Panthers, for the second straight season, will play in the Eastern Conference Final.
That is the way last season ended for your Boston Bruins as they fall to the Florida Panthers. Wouldn't say it was Jeremy Swayman's fault as the offense disappeared, and you saw bits and hints of that actually in the Toronto series. Games like 5 and 6, I want to say. They lost like 2-1. The offense really, and we've seen this before when we get to the playoffs, has struggled at times in the postseason. But here to talk more about that, our own Scott McLaughlin, WEEI, WEEI.com. Scott, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You pumped
opening
up?
Opening night, yeah.
You excited?
Absolutely.
What are you more excited about, opening night or the Swayman deal getting done?
Both. Well, excited that the Swayman deal got done before opening night,
yes.
So it just isn't. Now, it would have been good content, right, to be able to react. Every single game would have been, oh, did the goalie play well, and did the Bruins have more leverage? Did Korpisalo struggle, and now Swayman has more leverage? But I feel like that would have gotten old really fast. Like, that 4 games in, you would have been like, okay, enough of writing about this every night.
As much as you can tell in a short period of time, is all water under the bridge? Is there any ill will on either side, both sides, from the negotiations? We were talking earlier about Swayman's press conference. It was kind of weird. It was kind of politician. He kept steering back to what he wanted to say, not really answering questions. So where do you think the relationship is now that there is a long-term contract?
I'm sure there's probably some hurt feelings, but it's very easy to just not think about it. Like, you've got it done. You've got the money. The season's starting. You just don't have to think about it. Like, it's in the past. So whether it's water under the bridge or it's just out of sight, out of mind, because now you're done with all that. Like, Brad Marchand talked about this when he was asked about the Swayman negotiations, before the deal was done. And he had like that optimistic tone of it's going to get done. And then everyone's going to move on. And he talked about how, like, when guys go through these negotiations on long-term deals mm-hmm. that do usually take a while to get done, once it's done, it's just, like, such a huge weight off your back, off your shoulders. Like, you're just like, thank God I don't have to think about that, deal with that, look at those numbers and paperwork every day and hear what people are saying about me. And, like, it's just all gone, and it's back to tunnel vision on hockey.
Who won the deal?
I think it was pretty fair. So all along, I thought 8x8 was like what it was going to end up at. So I guess if I had to pick a side, I'd say Swayman because it came in a little over $8 million a year, but very close to what I thought was going to be fair.
And you also just saw what Shesterkin turned down reportedly. So, I mean, you know, knowing that may be what the market sort of expands to over the next year or two, this may end up looking like a good deal for the Bruins.
It certainly could. But, you know, they're gambling on Swayman, though, right?
Right.
Like, he has not proven himself as a workhorse number one goalie. He would have liked to have had that chance, right? It's not his fault that they were platooning, that they had a Vezina winner and Linus Ullmark here with him. But that is still something that he hasn't done yet. So the Bruins are making a bet on him as well, whereas someone like Igor Shesterkin has played 50 to 60 games every season and clearly has that track record that, you know he can hold up to that. You know he can perform well. You know he's going to be in the Vezina conversation every year. So I think for the, you know, like when the Rangers, I still think Shesterkin's going to sign with the Rangers. When they ultimately do get that done, they are paying for that certainty, for that track record. Whereas Swayman doesn't have that yet, which is why he can't play in that $10, $11 million neighborhood.
How long till we see him, and do you think there will be any rust?
So it looks like it is going to be Korpisalo tonight. He was first goalie off, according to all the reporters down there. Swayman stayed on after and skated with the healthy scratches. So it'll be Korpisalo tonight. I think Swayman's going to be in there Thursday for the home opener, probably.
Nice.
I think the fact that they even left the door open for tonight shows you that he's pretty close, and Jim Montgomery and Bob Esenza probably like what they've seen in, you know, limited viewings Monday and Tuesday down there in Florida. So I'm going to guess Thursday.
Do you expect some rust? Because I think he needs to be careful, because we were just talking about it. I think there is a portion of the fan base that soured on him a little bit during these negotiations. And then if he comes out...
Not me, but...
Not you. Others. His head was so far right up Swayman's butt. You sound like you're a little more on the realistic Andy side, which also means you're called a boomer for seeing that side and that viewpoint. Anyway, yes. Do you think that... Because if he comes out and has a couple bad games, the people that were a little annoyed with the negotiations are probably going to be annoyed that now he's rusty and now he's not the guy that's living up to the contract. So... Do you expect rust, and should he be careful maybe protecting himself and not rushing to get out there?
It's a possibility for sure. You just don't know, right? Because he hasn't gone into a game. He didn't have any preseason action. So, you know, that stuff does matter for guys. He was over at BU. He was training. He was facing shots. But listen, BU alum, great program over there. It's not the NHL.
Right.
So it's still a little different. So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, there's some concern, but I don't think it'll take him long. Like, it might even be a matter of the first period or period and a half, you know, face 7-8 shots and he's back in a rhythm.
The offseason outside of this Jeremy Swayman thing, which I think really took the spotlight away from the most active offseason the Bruins ever had. They spent $92 million as a franchise record. They have two big names that came in and a bunch of other guys who we haven't really dealt, like Max Jones and these other guys who were first-round picks and ended up sort of flaming out on their teams and getting signed here for sort of these, you know, second chances at going out there. And I just feel like the entire rest of the offseason got completely overshadowed by this thing with Jeremy Swayman. With that in mind, it's opening night tonight. What sort of expectations do you have for these new players, and how are they going to fit in?
Yeah, it's going to look like a different team. They are the biggest team in the NHL. They're the tallest, and they're the second heaviest just behind the Vegas
tallest and fattest. I love it. Yep. I like it. Get out
there. Or it might be vice versa. It might be second. Whatever. But regardless, on the whole, they're the biggest. they went out. They got guys who are physical, fast, are mean, like guys who play with an edge. Obviously, people, you know, probably know Nikita Zadorov. He kind of headlines the group in that respect. Obviously, Elias Lindholm was the big fish, the number one center. But Zadorov helps change that attitude. But so do Max Jones, as you mentioned. Mark Kastelic, who they got in the Linus Ullmark trade, who had like 50 post-whistle scrums in the preseason alone. Like every whistle, he was mixing up with someone. So, yeah, that they're going to look a little different. They're going to be tougher, grittier team. Offense is, you know, still a question mark. We just played that coming out. And Christian, you led into that. Like, they did have trouble scoring in the playoffs, and that's still going to be a question mark. But I think they might have the best defense core in the NHL. Now you have Swayman locked up. He's conservatively a top 5-6 goalie in the league. So that should be a strength. And the way that they play, I think, will be better suited to the playoffs. Now, what it looks like as they build over the course of the regular season and get there, there may be times that they struggle for some points, struggle to score, and have to figure some things out as they go.
So Jim Montgomery, lame duck coach, apparently. I was not aware of this. I think sort of the other contracts and offseason movement overshadowed his status. Do you think there is a chance that he's a true lame duck coach, or do you think he's here for the long haul? Is he in a prove it phase? Where does that stand?
I think they probably get an extension worked out. They've already started talking. Don Sweeney has said that. He said it was important to him to let Jim Montgomery know that they wanted to extend him, but wanting to extend him and having talks is not right. Signing a contract.
So, show me the money.
Right. So until it's done, Jim Montgomery remains in lame duck status. I wonder if it's maybe something where you just want to see, okay, as long as they get off to a pretty good start, then they'll get something done, hammer it out in November or December. on the flip side, if you get off to a bad start, maybe you start second-guessing that and have some tougher conversations as a front office. But I do think they're probably going to get something done.
Would you say that the idea of them getting bigger and stronger and tougher is a direct response to the Florida Panthers and the fact that they've had so much trouble with them in the last couple of years?
Yep, absolutely. Like, that's it can be a fool's errand to build a team around one opponent.
Just to beat one team? Yeah, right.
What if you don't play them?
But in the Bruins' case, like, they're in your division. You're both probably going to finish in the top 2 to 3 in the division again. Mm-hmm. You're most likely going to have to go through them. And so, you know, you have to build a team that's going to be able to beat them. And you know why you've lost to them the last 2 years. Like, you know it's been physical. I would say each of the last two postseasons, the most physical series both years was Bruins-Panthers. Like, talking whole league. So you have to find a way to win that physical battle of attrition. And I think, yeah, they made those moves to put themselves in a better position to do that.
So scrolling around WEEI.com, which everybody should do on a daily basis, I see your 10 bold predictions for the 2024-2025 Bruins. The top two are the most, I would say, intriguing or hopeful or optimistic for Bruins fans. One is Jeremy Swayman wins the Vezina. Mm. Two is David Pastrnak sets a career high in points. Which of those is less bold? Which of those is more likely to actually happen?
Pastrnak setting a career high in points is less bold. That is more likely to happen because he had 113 2 years ago. That is his career high. Last year, he had 110 after losing both centers that he had played with his entire career. No Patrice Bergeron, no David Krejci. He is doing all the heavy lifting offensively, and he still has 110 points. So now you give him Elias Lindholm, who I still have questions like as to like whether he is truly like an elite number one center on a cup team, but he was the best guy available, so you go get him. He is an upgrade over what Pastrnak had at center last year. So I think that's going to make a big difference. Lindholm will help kill plays defensively. He's a good defensive center. Get them going on the attack more. He can pop open for Pastrnak. He's a good finisher. He's a good passer. He can help set up Pastrnak. Like, I think that's going to be a good mix. So to say Pastrnak can get 4 more points than last year seems very doable to me.
Is the comparisons to Bergeron for Lindholm, are those lazy? Are they apt? Where do you fall on that?
It's a little lazy. Like, he plays the same kind of 200-foot style. He's just not as good at it. And, like, that's not even, like, that's not a knock.
Right.
Patrice Bergeron, you're talking about arguably the greatest defensive center in the history of the league.
The Bergeron Trophy someday.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Lindholm's not that, but that doesn't mean he's bad.
Or, right.
You know, he's still good defensively. He's gotten Selke votes in the past. He has a 40-goal season on his resume when he was playing with Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk up in Calgary. This is going to be the best line he's been on since then. So, yeah, his point totals took a huge dip last year, but he was in a bad situation in Calgary where, like, everyone wanted out. And then he goes to Vancouver, and they really never found a home for him. They played him on the wing. They played him at third-line center, and he was just kind of moving all around. He finally started to click in the playoffs and actually had a pretty good postseason for them, which obviously helped his free agent value. But I think he'll be – I can easily see him topping 70 points playing on the line with Pastrnak.
Interesting. Well, we'll see. What's your biggest concern with this team going into opening night?
It's the scoring. I mean, all summer long we talked about they're missing a second-line right wing. Who's going to win that job? It's going to be Morgan Geeky to start, and I think Geeky could be a pretty solid fit there. Like, I actually like Geeky quite a bit as a player. But most likely you're going to be in a situation where you're looking to address that before the trade deadline. So until then, you need guys to step up, whether that's Geeky, Trent Frederick, Justin Brazeau is starting the season on the third line. Mm. You know, he flashed some offense in a small sample late last season. Let's see if he can do that for a longer period of time. Like, those secondary scores are all going to have to step up and take a step. Charlie Coyle is going to have to be a 60-point guy again. That was his career high last year. He can't take a step back. Pavel Zacha needs to build off an almost 60-point season. So that's just, like, that's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of guys who need to take a step forward if they if half of them don't, then you might struggle offensively.
Is the deadline going to be tougher to navigate this year with no cap space? I mean, they're up to like, what, 200,000 in cap space or something?
So they will accrue cap space throughout the season because they are not in long-term injured reserve, which
okay.
really, so two things really hurt them last year. They had bonuses from Bergeron and Krejci carryover, and Milan Lucic just wound up parked on long-term IR right. all season, so they never accrued any cap space. This year, they will build some up throughout the year because they're under the cap to start. So that'll Barely. Help them. They should have enough money to be able to add someone at the deadline.
What is a realistic hope or expectation? Win a series, win two series, Eastern Conference Finals, Stanley Cup. Where are you at with this team?
I think the floor should be win a series and get back to where they were last year. And I think the ceiling is, to me, I think they're a cup contender. I think they could win it all. They're not a favorite to do that. I'm not picking them to do that. But I do think they could get out of the conference. Like, they are better built to beat the Florida Panthers. It is really hard to go on three straight deep playoff runs. The Panthers have played a lot of hockey and a lot of very physical hockey the last 2 years. So I think they could be a little more vulnerable. They lost quite a bit of depth. And then if you cross over to like the Metro Division, I think the Atlantic is the better division in the Eastern Conference. So whoever comes out of those first two rounds in the Atlantic, I think absolutely could win the conference finals, go to the cup final.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Then Scott McLaughlin, great to talk with you. Enjoy hockey tonight. We all will, assuming they go ahead and play it. And I believe we have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Let's hit that breaking news.
It's real.
We interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
It's out there. According to Rap Sheet, I don't see anybody else that's reporting this firms yet. Drake May has been named the Patriots starting quarterback for Week 6's game against the Houston Texans. Rap Sheet has it. Drake May. May Day, this Sunday.
Andy, right again.
All right, we are going to react to that news again. Scott McLaughlin, great
Thank you, Scott.
You.
Sorry
Thanks
to
so
like.
Much.
Nope.
Sorry that
Bruins win the cup and Drake May's starting. Let's have a party.
Everybody's excited. All right, there you go. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll react to this news. Drake May, your starting quarterback for Week 6 against the Texans, coming up next.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Jacoby, I know you don't appreciate this topic or these questions, but Gerard Mayo said this morning that your performance wasn't good enough. Do you expect to start this week, or do you have some question as to your status?
Nope, I don't have any questions on that.
Okay. So you expect to start? You expect to clarify start? Real quick?
Yeah.
It's out there. According to Rap Sheet, I don't see anybody else that's reporting this firms yet. Drake May has been named the Patriots starting quarterback for Week 6's game against the Houston Texans. Rap Sheet has it. Drake May. May Day, this Sunday.
Andy, right again.
Well, there it is. I was thinking we might get news today. I just had a funny feeling there might be some breaking news regarding the quarterback today. And here it is. Schefter has it now. Everybody reporting the same thing. A quarterback change in New England Patriots now planning to turn to rookie first-round pick Drake May to start Sunday's game against the Houston Texans. May now joins Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix as the fourth rookie quarterback to start a game this season. That leaves just Michael Penix and, of course, McCarthy, who was injured and not playing at all this year, as the other ones left. May Day this Sunday. We'll get our first look at an entire game of Drake May.
I feel like we just arrived, or we got to the party, or now in the party, or something. Like, we're now in the game with the young QB in the future. Now, I will say this. Today's the off day, right?
Yes.
I hope that Gerard Mayo had the respect to talk to the quarterbacks, the team, everything. Just like week one.
Yesterday?
I don't know. I don't know when it...
Because we talked to Brissett around like 4:30, right?
Yeah. Right. I hope he had meetings after that or something, because he was so hell-bent week one. I got to talk to my team. I got to talk to the guys individually, the whole thing. And now on an off day, Crapsheet and Schefter are reporting, like...
He keeps getting all these scoops. You're going to have to stop calling him that.
I don't think I have to.
I mean, he just kicked everyone's ass on this one. Every local beat guy, Schefter, everywhere. I mean,
and this is news Andy wanted too, and he's still crying.
Yes, I know. I mean, really, Rat, you got to give him props here. He whoever his source is, he's getting the scoops.
His source is at the highest level, but
seems like it.
Do you disagree with me? Like, I hope they did him the solid of telling him and like treating it the same way they treated Week One, because if he's reading this on his phone right now because he sees the tweet from Rap Sheet. That's bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pounce on that.
A team meeting, I bet maybe called them, you know, there was an off day phone call, I'd imagine, maybe. Maybe they met in person.
I would like in
along
person.
Those lines.
Hey,
yeah.
Jacoby, you want to come in? And Jacoby's like, no, I do not. If you don't tell me, it never happened.
Who is this?
But this is as excited as I've been, I think, since draft night, right? Because we kind of were teased along the way. Yeah. We were trying to talk ourselves into he might play when Coach Mayo says he was the best quarterback, and we there was this whole weird, muddled mess of the summer. But this is as excited. Everybody was excited when you got your quarterback on draft night with the third pick. And now that Ferrari, what was the car that Jalen Reagor, the Bugatti, that's under that carport by the crappy house? We're bringing it out. We fueled it up, and we're hitting the gas, baby. It may explode or something. Who knows what happens once it leaves the driveway? It may hit a pothole and the wheel falls off. But right now, you should be excited.
Houston Texans have the number 3 defense in the NFL, according to DVOA, which I do not.
Oh, wet blanket arcane
here. I do not know what DVOA stands for. I'm just telling you that we all discussed this, and this was a take you had, Andy, by the way, that it would have been better to start them last week because this is a much tougher game with a tougher defense and a tougher offense and a tougher everything. And I think that's true. And that's one part of this that you sort of look at and think, well, we're glad he's playing. But what was the plan? This wasn't the plan. The plan wasn't for him to start in Houston. I guarantee you that. When they started concocting this plan in the offseason or whenever they finalized it, they weren't like, all right, week 6, Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud, that team that was a 10-win team last year and added all these weapons, that's who we want him to start against. I guarantee that was not the plan.
I think that is a very accurate, solid assessment. I can't imagine six months? April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Yeah. Like a 6- or 7th-month plan, you were like, C.J. Stroud, the guy everybody already wants to compare quarterbacks to because he turned his franchise around, and against a defense that is good, better than it was last, what'd you say, third in the league?
Third in DVOA, yeah.
But we knew they were going to be a good defense. They had Will Anderson. They brought in Hunter this off. Like, they're going to be a good defense. That was the date you circled on your calendar 6 months ago when you devised this long-term plan that is very, we're sticking to the plan, got to stay with the plan, the plan, the plan, the plan.
If you're going
to
start him against Houston, you might as well start him against the Niners, I think.
No, the time to start him was last week. But we're not getting lost in the angry weeds.
Okay.
Can we have a nice thing for one segment?
It is a nice thing.
You have.
I'm happy that they did it. I'm just saying this plan, whatever this plan was, is clearly something that they're just saying goodbye to. So
good,
anybody
good.
Who is, anybody
late.
Who is touting the plan can't take a victory lap today. Well, here they go. They finally got him. No. This was not the plan.
No.
That's all I'm
saying.
Well, it
also may have, if we want to get into the weeds of misery and everything, maybe there was a shift in who somebody was listening to.
That could be
Robert
it too.
Listening to Mayo, Wolf listening to Van Pelt. Like, I don't know, Spider-Man meme, who changed, who's pointing, but maybe there was just sort of a shift in perspective by certain decision makers. And maybe the collaborative was a, you know, 4-1 vote at some point to stick to the plan, and all of a sudden they cast a new vote this week and the votes went the other way and it was 3-2. We're starting Drake May. But the end, most important aspect of this, we have reason to want to watch the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah.
Literally.
I'm excited to watch this game.
Exactly. Yeah. That may fade in the first quarter, the first half. I don't know how it plays out. But you have reason to be excited to watch the Patriots on Sunday. It was delayed gratification a few weeks, but let's not, that's water under the bridge. Let's be like Swayman and Sweeney and everybody. We'll just move on. We were mad, but now let's focus on the here and now. And the here and now is you have an athletic playmaking quarterback with a strong arm. If I'm one of those receivers, I'm like, I can run around downfield. He might hit me.
Yeah.
If I get open, right? If I'm Pop Douglas, I'm crossing, the ball might hit me. So I think this is the best news we've gotten Patriot Nation since when you drafted Drake May in April.
Just imagine if Jalen Polk had toe tapped in the back of the end zone. We wouldn't be making this announcement right
That's
now.
That's probably
we
accurate.
Wouldn't. It would be another week of Brissett. Guarantee it'd be another week of Brissett.
So then say,
if he ended the game.
You.
Thank you, Jalen. That was like Jalen Polk is like Mo Lewis, basically.
Yes.
Like it's the same kind of thing. Like him not landing with that ankle down and losing that game. Because if they won that game on a last-minute drive and a last-second touchdown pass from Jacoby Brissett, is your starter next week, and there's no doubt about it.
I agree. But that didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
Never happened. So thank you, Jalen Polk. Thank you, replay official, with the obvious call very quickly. And thank you for the Patriots finally seeing reason. And I'll be interested if we get pushback, because all the people that didn't want him to play, I want you to continue with that.
Right.
Like, if you didn't want him to play, then you still don't want him to play.
Yeah, don't jump on the bandwagon now.
Nope. We can jump on the bandwagon. We can have fun. We can be excited about 1 o'clock on Sunday. We can monitor the ticket prices to see if people are actually going to go to Gillette Stadium to see Drake May's debut, which also, by the way, looks good in Pat Patriot Reds as well. First game he ever plays is a throwback.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll have a throwback play because he's athletic. Throw it back to Drake May. Touchdown. Philly special. Run it against the Texans. There is every reason to be excited right now in Patriot Nation.
Yeah, I got to say, this is
while you can.
News I was really hoping for. Enjoy this moment, Patriots fans, because we don't know how it's going to go, but hopefully it goes better than it's been going. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got open phone lines for you if you want to react to the breaking news that Drake May will get his first start this Sunday against the Houston Texans. The number 3 overall pick finally will go out there and get a start. It'll be the 4th rookie quarterback to get a start so far this season. We're reacting to that with your phone calls right after this.